Parshas Devarim. We begin a new sefer, and we're actually in the times of Eretz Yisrael. Is in a time of extremely difficult situation with the second Gaza war. At this stage in time, we have no idea where we actually going with this. We don't know how this is going to end. We've seen terrible, tragic losses of life of our soldiers. We don't know at this stage where we're standing today on the 29th of July 2014. We don't know where this is going to go. We have no idea, and anyone who says they do are not living in reality. We don't know where this is going to go. What we have seen is a war that has taken place that is completely inexplicable if one works through regular statistics of warfare, of how they've sent over hundreds and hundreds of rockets, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has protected us time after time. Even the secular radio, the secular media, talks about Nisim, which is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly teaching us. But I think it's time, right now, in the middle of all this that's going on, with anti-Semitism and anti-Israel sentiments around the world, in the middle of the 9 days, to try and get perspective, a little bit of why we are here. What is Eretz Yisrael all about? Why do we bother fighting for this? Why are we here? Is it really worth it? Can we not go back to Chutz Aretz? Truth in Chutz Aretz is probably even more dangerous right now. But what's it worth fighting for? Why is Eretz Yisrael so precious to us that we're willing to give up the lives of our beautiful soldiers for the sake of living in Eretz Yisrael? What is our deal over here? And second question really is, why is it that some people make it here and some people don't? And here, making it here does not mean making money. I'm not talking about making it here being comfortable. I'm talking about, why is it that today the vast majority of people who are coming to live and move to Eretz Yisrael are the religious communities, and the vast majority of people who are doing Yeridah, are leaving Eretz Yisrael, are the irreligious? And you can't even say that it's a Zionistic idea, because many of the religious people who are moving here are not Zionistically as per se inclined, and the people who are moving back were far more Zionistic. You know, they kept Yom HaTzma'ut, and they went to the army, and they're doing Yeridah. So what is it? What's this strange thing about Eretz Yisrael that we're willing to work so hard for that seems to go against everything else that the rest of the world actually believes in? You know, there's so much happening right now in Syria, so much happening in Iraq, so much happening all over the world, and Israel beats the headlines time after time, a little country. What is it that fascinates the goyim so much? What's it all about? So Eilat Devarim, this week's parasha, is a very, very interesting parasha. And it begins a series of parashas where Moshe Rabbeinu talks in many places about the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, talks about the qualities of Eretz Yisrael, and the parasha begins with an introduction to Sefer Devarim in a very, very interesting way. Right at the beginning, Eilah HaDevarim, Asher Dibbe Moshe al Kol Yisrael, Be'eva HaYarden, Bamidbar, Ba'arova, it was across the Yarden, in the Midbar, Ba'arova, Molsuf, Be'borah, Be'toifah, Be'machasot, exactly the location, the GPS location, exactly where Moshe was when he said this over. Where was it? When was it? Achad Osiyeh Mechoyrev Derech Haser Kodesh Bnei. It was 11 days from this particular place. Vahi Ba'boim Shana, it was on the 40th year, Ba'ashtei Osa L'chodesh, on the 12th month, Ba'echel L'chodesh, the first of the 12th month, Dibbe Moshe of Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Bnei spoke. So here we have the location, and here we have the time, and I would expect to start hearing Moshe's drosha. No, the pasuk's not enough. After he smote Sichi Melech Amori, who was in Cheshbon, and there, Be'eva Hayardein, Eva Yadin, Be'eretz Moiv, Hoil Moshe Beretzor Hazoyes Leimoy. There, Moshe Rabbeinu gave over this drasha. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu gave over this drasha over here. So, we know the time. We know the location. Why is it possible now start talking about after he hits Sichem Melech Amori, Yeah, another historical fact that we could have easily learned earlier on. But Eva Hayad and Moshe Begavi. We know exactly where he was. It's talking, the Pasuk says, Dibba Moshe, Kol Yisrael, but Eva Hayad, and the first Pasuk tells me. So why are you telling again it's Eva Hayad after he hit Sichon HaMelech? Why is it relevant to the time and the place and the introduction, the dating of what Moshe Begavi is talking about? What's this all about? So the Chasam Sofer says a very, very powerful thought. He says Eva Hayarden was disputed land. In other words, it was a land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to conquer only through tremendous nisim. It was Eretz Sichon, it belonged to Moav, and Moav, we weren't allowed to antagonize Moav, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it over to Sichon Melech HaMoiri. He took over Amon and Moav, and we took it from Sichon Melech HaMoiri. Big miracles. Now this land had incredible qualities to it, to such an extent B'nei God, B'nei Reuven desired it in a way to be able to multiply their stock, to multiply in business eyes. This was the place to be. It was the perfect place to bring up cattle. That was the financial hub of the area, and they stayed there. Okay, so they saw Sichon and Oig, they saw Eva Hayarden as a financial advantage for them to be there. Moshe Rabbeinu could not go into Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave over the Torah. Now, how did Moshe Rabbeinu view Eva Hayarden? How did he view Sichon and Oig? How did he view the miracles that took place that led them up to making Eva Hayarden across the Jordan River a part of Eretz Yisrael? Did Moshe Rabbeinu see that piece of land and all the miracles that led up to that? Did he see that as a way to increase his parnasa? Did he see that as, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me this land of Eva Hayarden in order to be able to have, you know, to be able to be comfortable in Eretz Yisrael? Is that what it's all about? They should aim to make a good parnasa here. Is that what it's about? Says the Pasuk, no. Says the Pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke in Eva Hayarden. And after, he said exactly the location. And the Pasuk says, the mighty Oig. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did his incredible miracles, and we saw these miracles. What did Moshe Rabbeinu see in the miracles? How did he translate these miracles? The only reason why Moshe Rabbeinu saw any reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eva Hayarden to us was not because of Eretz Mare, who is a good place for grazing sheep. No, Hoyel Moshe Be'er Esatayra Zeis Leimu. Moshe Rabbeinu saw this as a miracle that now Eva Hayarden has the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael to an extent, and therefore he who could not go over into Eretz Yisrael could now give over the Torah in a way that the Torah becomes much more valuable. That the Torah is now Torah's Eretz Yisrael with all its value. Torah Eretz Yisrael is not the same way as Torah of Chutz La'aretz. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu saw the miracles that led up to this great day, not as a miracle to produce a stable economy, to produce a land that can Eretz Mikneh for sheep. He saw this as an opportunity only to be able to stand Moshe Rabbeinu and teach Klal Yisrael Torah in a way that could not be taught if Eva Hayarden had not become part of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu saw Eva Hayarden as being part of Eretz Yisrael for one purpose only. To be able to give over Torah in that special quality. To be able to plug in to the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. And to give over the quality of Torah in a better way than he could have possibly have done in Chutz La'aretz. That is the only reason. And that's why the Pasuk goes back. And the Pasuk says, why did Moshe Rabbeinu give the Torah over here? The Baruch Hashem made all these miracles, all these nisim, for one reason only. That Be'er HaTorah HaZois, that Moshe Rabbeinu can give over the Torah, this Torah, in a better quality of Torah that could have been if it would have been Chutz La'aretz. This, Rabbi Yisus, as a Chasam Sefer, is the key to understanding Sefer Devarim. Sefer Devarim is a land of Eretz Yisrael that's described in beautiful ways, Eretz Avos Chalav Udvash, a beautiful land. And it talks about the quality of just before coming to Eretz Yisrael. But the introduction to Sefer Devarim is, Eretz Yisrael is not about Gashmis. Eretz Yisrael, its quality is not about the value that we have a beautiful beach line, a coastline, that we have fantastic skiing opportunities here. That you can go for one day, you can be in a Hermon skiing, and the same day you can be snorkeling in Eilat. That is not the quality of Eretz Yisrael. The quality of Eretz Yisrael is the fact that the ruchnius over here, that the, is a whole different level that one can have in a Chutz La'aretz. And that is the introduction to Sefer Devarim. The Gemara says, "And Chad Minayu Odik Mitrei Minon." One of us in Eretz Yisrael is worth two in Chutz La'aretz. That is the quality of Torah over here. B'nei God and B'nei Reuven, they did not see Eretz Yisrael in that light. They did not appreciate Eva Hayardain that became Eretz Yisrael for the sake of its Torah. They saw it as a very wonderful business opportunity, and therefore, if you look later on in the parasha, there's a very, very strange lengthy discussion about what happened with Eva Hayardain. If you remember, B'nei God B'nei Reuven asked Moshe Rabbeinu for Eva Hayardain. It does not mention there one word about Menashe. B'nei God and B'nei Reuven asked for Eva Hayardain. Does it say anywhere that B'nei God B'nei Reuven and Chatzi Shevet Menashe came? Not a word. Strangely, Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to the 2.5 tribes. Yeah? Reuven, God, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. Where did Chatzi Shevet Menashe come? They never asked for it. Not only that, yes,
it does mention they conquered it at the end.
They conquered it at the end, but that's, so Klal Yisrael conquered a lot of things along the way as well.
No, but it says Dafka, the B'nai Menashe, went and took over a few towns, and it says they changed it to the names.
Yeah, but Klal Yisrael also went and changed it for things.
But it was Dafka them.
No. If you look in the Haim Mikdavah, if you look in the Haim Mikdavah,
they weren't part of the request.
No, but you look in the Haim Mikdavah, it says it mentions them because they were going to conquer it later on, so they conquered those lands. But
Sichon and Oig, they dafka conquered it.
Yeah, but look in the Hemakdava. Okay, it's a good point. However, let's just follow through this. He says, and also in the Seder, the order of what's going on over here, it's very strange. Look inside over here in Perik Gimel. It talks about, they went and conquered the different lands, Malcha Amori, Pasuk Ches, and they went to the Hermon and Mishor, and Oig Malcha Boshu went out and knocked them out. There's the Eretz Azois, Perik Gimel, Pasuk Base. There's the Eretz Azois on this land, Yerashnu Me'esahi, yeah. They inherited in that time, Ma'ar Oira Ashal Nachal Arnoi, and he gave it to Reuven and Logodi. He gave it to Reuven and God. The Yesa Hagilod Valabosham Amleches Oig he gave to Chatzi Shevet Menashe. Kol Chevel Ha'argoiv Lechol Ha'boshon Hu Yikar Eretz Lefoim. And then it goes on to length. Yoim Be Menashe Lokes Kol Chev Argoiv Ad Gvulag Shuri Vamach Osi Vikro Shmoyes Boshon Ulamochin Nesati Es Gilod. And then it starts talking about Chatzi Shevet Menashe. Yeah. And then he goes back. Uvan Ulagodi I gave Gilod Vesnachal Arnoi. Asks the Netziv in Her Mikdavah, it says in a Pasuk Yud Beis, he gave it to Reuven and Ugadi. We would expect the Pasuk to carry on, Pasuk Tezayin, with Pasuk Tezayin. What did he give to Reuven and God? Gilad, Nachal, Arnoi, Toicha, Nachal, carry on talking about B'nei God, B'nei Reuven. In the middle of all this, it starts talking about Chatzis Shevet Menashe, what they got. So you start talking about B'nei God, B'nei Reuven, then you start talking about Shevet Menashe, and then you start talking about B'nei God, B'nei Reuven. It's not in order. Not only that, he says, if you look in the Pesukim and you work through the borders, the Chatzis Shevet Menashe got an enormous piece of land compared to the other two tribes. B'nei God, B'nei Reuven didn't get that much. Yeah, Chatzis Shevet Menashe got a huge piece.
Could be dead.
So what's going on? What's going on? Why does a posuk go out of the order and then it starts talking about Chatzis Shevet Menashe and back to B'nei God, B'nei Reuven? And why did Chatzis Shevet Menashe get such a huge piece compared to only a half a tribe? Says Ahem Mikdavah, because Eretz Yisrael's survival is not based on Gashmius, it's based on Ruchnius. B'nei God and B'nei Reuven did not have the quality of Tamid HaChachomim that gave them the power to exist in Eva Hayardeh. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to call in Mochir Ben Menashe, the Tamid HaChachomim. Mochir Ben Menashe were the Tamid HaChachomim, the Rosh Hashivas. Yeah? Brought down many Pesukim that they were the Tamid HaChachomim. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to implant in over Eva Hayardain the key to survival, and that is Tamid HaChachomim, a place of Torah. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? he sees Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven wanting a land. It's not going to work. So he negotiates with Mochem ben Manasseh, and he says to Mochem ben Manasseh, I will give you a huge piece of land that you'll be able to learn with Mnuchas HaNefesh. Do me a favor, go and live there. And Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven have no choice. Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, if you want my approval, there's got to be Tamid HaChom in there. It's got to be a Mokum Torah. So Mochem ben Manasseh was given a place, even though never asked for it, in order to give Eva HaYarden the power to survive as a Mokum Torah. Because if there's no Torah, there's no survival. And that is why, first Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven asked, Moshe Rabbeinu could not give them an answer until he negotiated with Mochem ben Manasseh, and therefore talks about what he gave to Chas V'Shalom ben Manasseh, and talks about the huge piece of land he gave them, and then he says, oh, now I have given the basis of survival of Eva HaYarden, now Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, I can start talking to you again. In other words, Eretz Yisrael is not about the Gashmius. Eretz Yisrael is about the Ruchnius. Eretz Yisrael is about the survival of a Mokum Torah. That is what it's about. And that's why at the end of the parasha, again, Eva HaYarden, when Moshe Rabbeinu appreciated it, was for the Torah. And Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven appreciated for the pasture land, they were not able to survive there without Mochem ben Manasseh, without a Das Torah there, without Tamid HaChomim there, without yeshivas there, to give them that extra Kedusha, to give that land its survival. It's an interesting medrash. The medrash says, on Peis Pasuk Gimel, Pnu Lechem Tzfoino. Travel Tzfoino. Yeah. Travel Tzfoino. Now, this pasuk comes on the back of the previous pasuk. It says, after the Yom Tov, V'rav Lechem Tzfoino Tzahorazeh, Pnu Lechem Tzfoino. Travel to the Tzfoino. Okay? Says the medrash. Omer of Chia, Omer Lechem, Im Re'isem Oysoi, Shemavakish Yiskaris Bechem, if you see the goyim trying to lay scarus for him, to antagonize you, al tam to connect them, do not stand against them. Elo hatzfino atzvichem imenu atshiyavo elenu. Try and keep a low profile until they pass by. Have pnu lechem tzfoino. Tzfoino means like tzofun berach, tzofun la'afikoyim where you hide. So tzfoino is loshul from tzafun. Tzafun means hidden. Omer v'yhuda bar sholem. Omer lo yisrael. Rebbeinu shleilom. Oviv mevoruch le'al chalvach atichyeh. Yitzchak Avinu gave Esav the bracha that you should live according to the sword. In other words, their power through violence. Va'ata maskim imoy. Va'omer lanu hitzbina asvachem imet miponov. And you tell us, in other words, he gave Goyim the koyach to conquer us, to fight against us. And you tell us to hide. Where should we hide? Where should we hide? They'll find us. Ulaheichan nivrach. Omer lahem, he said to them, Imre isem shem mizdavig lechem. If you see them coming to fight against you, boruchu l'toyra, run to toyra. Ve'ein tzfoino el toyra shnema yitzban lishorim tishia and mishli beis. In other words, if goyim out there to attack you, the way to survive is strengthening ourselves through toyra. That is it. That is it. Our survival instinct is not through putting up huge armies. Our survival is based on toyra. Now, chas v'sholem to say that we have to give no appreciation to what these poor boys are being moisen nefesh, giving, literally giving up their lives. It's not, you know, it's not a fluke that they're being killed there. It is, the odds are incredibly dangerous. We need an army out there. There's no doubt that we need an army to fight for ourselves. We're living in a olam agashmi. But to believe for a moment that that is our survival and that is how we're winning the war is not das Torah and it's irrational. The war is being won by Nissen, through miracles, and Nissen is done through Shmiras HaTorah. The Pasuk says, Ama of the Haaretz, yeah? And the Pasuk, Chazal says, and he didn't know Ama of the Haaretz, and he says he went and asked the Nevi'im, and did not know until the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and said, Alezavti Mr. Rossi, because he left my Torah. So what's Peshat? The Gemara says, in the Doron of Pei Aleph, so one would think everyone didn't keep the mitzvahs, no one learned Torah. Says the Gemara, they did not make birchas haTorah. So the Yisrael already asked, what's going on over here? You know, you don't make, you're learning, you're not making birchas Torah. I mean, if you don't want to learn, don't learn. Yeah, but you're learning, not making brachos. That was a big chet. What was a big chet about that? So he has one answer there. Rav Yaakov Naiman has a different answer, and he says that this. He says that the chet was that they could not bring themselves to say brachos haTorah. Which brachos haTorah? Asher bochabonu mikol ha'amim v'nasalonu es toirosoi borachatu Hashem noisun haTorah. They could not bring themselves to say that we are a chosen nation. They cannot bring themselves to say that we are different from the goyim. We want to learn Torah. You want to learn Torah. We want to keep mitzvahs. We want to live, but we're not different to a goyim. We don't live on a different level to the goyim. We are living as Jews in a goyish world. We live as Jews under the laws of how every other the country lives, and we happen to be Jews, and they happen to be, you know, good for them, Christians or Hare Krishna or Muslims or Buddhists. They can be whatever they want, but we're living in Eretz Yisrael under the laws of a regular land as Jews, with our culture, with our laws, with our holidays, but we're not different. And they learned Torah. Doesn't mean they never learned Torah. They actually learned Torah, but they did not feel that they were the chosen people. They did not feel that the laws of the world run differently because we are Yidden. And therefore, since they didn't feel that we're different, they were able to mix with the goyim and become one of them. Eretz Yisrael cannot allow people who do not believe that we are different to live in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is offended by the fact that it's an Eretz HaKadosha. It's a land that is Kodesh. Kodesh means separated. The laws over here run differently to any other country runs. It's not possible to associate Eretz Yisrael with the rules of any other country. Whether it's the financial side, or whether it's the military side, it's a different country with different rules. And if a person cannot bring himself to say that we are different, living in a different land, and more is expected from us on the ruchnius level, this land will spit him out. The land spat out Klal Yisrael, Azaptim Terosi, Ashley Beruch B'Torah Tchila, means that they cannot bring themselves to say Ashley Bochabonu, they cannot see that they are on a whole different level to the rest of the world. More is expected from us, both Beruchnius and the way we treat other people, Begashnius. We are living in a different land, and if we don't appreciate that, the land will spit us out. That is a different level. That's Azaptim Terosi. And in fact, there is a beautiful piece over here from the Rav Shimon Schwab. He says that there's a very close connection between Megillas Eichel that read on Tisha B'Av with the Maisa Meraglim, and it's based on the Gemara. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Kuf Dalad Mabeis, Omar Rabba Omar Biechanon.
What was that again? Sanhedrin.
Sanhedrin Kuf Dalad on the base. It's based on a parsha in Perik Yudal Pasuk Aleph in Bamidbar. Vatisa kol ha'eda, the whole eda, vayitnu es kolam vayivku ha'omu lailahu. The people cried that night. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, this is on the backdrop of that of the Meraglim coming back to Klal Yisrael after viewing Eretz Yisrael for 40 days, and they came back and they said it's impossible. And they all cried. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Omer Rabba, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Oysoy HaLayla, that night, Leil Tisha B'Av Hoyo. It was Tisha B'Av. Omer Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Atem Bechisem Bechir Shel Chinam, you are crying for nothing. V'ani Ekva Lechem Bechir L'Doiris, for generations and generations, I will make sure that you cry for a good reason. Which, in other words, and what was Oynish for them? The first base of Mikdash, the second base of Mikdash, the First World War, all began on Tisha B'Av. You know, the First World War was a preliminary war to the Second World War, and we all suffer today very, very much from the Bechir that took place on that Tisha B'Av. Now, how does that represent itself in Eicha? How do we see the Maisa Meraglim in Eicha? So the Gemara says, in Sanhedrin also there, Sanhedrin of Kuf Dalad, Omer Rabba Omer Rabbi Yechanan. If you look in the Sefer in Eicha, Eicha is done according to the Seder of Aleph base. Yeah? The Pesukim. It says Eicha, and then Bodo, it goes Aleph base, comes Aleph Pesukim. Each one of Pesukim begins with the next set of Aleph base. In the first Perek of Eicha, it actually goes Aleph base, Keseder. Aleph base, Gemodalad goes all the way through Keseder. Okay? in the second, in the other Parokim, it doesn't have it Kaseda. There's one switch in the Pesukim. Do you know what they are?
No.
The Pei and the Ayin. The Pei and the Ayin are switched. Which, in other words, in the first Seder of the first Perek, we know from the first Perek how Aleph Bey should look. And in the first Perek, it has Ayin, Pei. Ayin, then Pei. In the other ones, it's Pei and then Ayin. Pei and Ayin get switched around. Have a look, you'll see. Pei and Ayin get switched around. Says the Gemara, why do we have in the other Parokim the Pei and Ayin, the Pasuk beginning with Pei and Pasuk beginning with Ayin, switched over? Says Igmara, that clearly represents the chait of the Meraglim. What was the chait of the Meraglim? They gave over their, with their peh, with their mouth, what they did not see with their eye and what they did not see with their eyes. So they gave over with their peh that they did not see with their eyes. So the peh came before the eye. If they were the first seen and then said over, it would be eye and then peh. But they didn't. They said over what they didn't see. What's the obvious question? It's not true. None of the remarks that they made was a sheker. It's not true. In other words, this seems safe from the pasuk that they said a sheker. It's not true. It's not a sheker b'chlal. How can you say it's a sheker over here? If you look all the way through,
this is lo yachol. We can't do it.
But lo yachol was their personal interpretation.
Yeah.
Interpretation of. After what we saw,
yeah.
It's not possible.
Right.
But in other words, but what they gave over, the remarks they gave over, what did they give over?
They said,
and all the people there, Anshe Midois, it's all true. Yeah? And we saw the Nephilim, we saw the giants, it's true. It's all true. And therefore, how can you come along and you can say that they did iron and then pair? Yeah? Pair and then Ayn. They said over things they never saw. They said over what they saw. Okay, it was wrong for them to interpret it in a particular way later on. But to say that they said over about Eretz Yisrael, yeah, the report they gave over was not true, that they said things that they never saw. They saw all those things, and therefore it's terrible land. They didn't say things that they didn't see. Says Shimon Schwab like this, that different people can see the exact same item and view it in a completely different way. Yeah? I don't know, take for example a child and a woman and a man viewing a car. Yeah? A child will see the nice stickers at the back. The man will check out, you know, the engine size, right? Or how many miles dust per gallon. And a woman will see what if it's a nice colour. Yeah, there's different things that attract different things. And a car, each person will view different things in a different way. He says the same land or the same place can be viewed completely differently. Avram Avinu is walking with Yitzchak and walking with Ishmael and Eliezer. Avram Avinu comes to Har HaMoriah and he says to Yitzchak, do you see anything here? And he says, yes, I see the cloud, I see the Shechina. He says to Ishmael and he says to Eliezer, do you see? No, I don't see anything. So Shmulechem Poy Machmo, you stay here, I'm going to Yitzchak. They see the same land physically. They see the same place. But if you look at the place with Ruchnius eyes, if you work in yourself to see a land with Ruchnius eyes, you see different things than if you see the land with Gashmius eyes. Moshim Shvab says that the chait of the Meraglim was that they did not inspire themselves to look at the land the way Eretz Yisrael should be looked at. They saw the land as a physical land. And therefore they saw the impossible physical challenges that Klal Yisrael will have when they come to Eretz Yisrael. But now, Anakim, you've got giants over there, you've got people dying all over the place, which is all true. Because they're looking at a Gashmius. If they were looked at Ruchnius, we went there, you know what we saw? We saw Harabais. No, we saw, we went to Kiryat Arba, and we saw the obvious of Kedoshim. B'nai Anokim, we saw giants, saw Avram Avinu. We went there, we were so inspired. Then it would have come back and said, Rabbi Isai, do you know what unbelievable land it is? Do you know what we can gain and we can earn by being in Eretz Yisrael? Hovina, let's all go up there. But because they didn't see that, and because they looked at Eretz Yisrael with Gashmius eyes, and they looked at this as if Eretz Yisrael is the same as anywhere else have been up to, like in Mitzrayim. Let's go back to Mitzrayim, it's a lot more comfortable there. The chet was that they compared Eretz Yisrael to any other land. And they looked at Eretz Yisrael with the eyes of Gashmius rather than looking at the eyes of Ruchnius. And because of that, they came back with a wrong report. Massive Peshat. They gave over with their pair what the Ruchnius eye didn't see. They gave over with a pair which what they didn't see with the iron. What didn't see? They didn't see the Ruchnius iron. If they would have given over Eretz Yisrael, what they did see with the Ruchnius iron, if they would have looked at Eretz Yisrael with a Ruchnius form, they would have come back with a complete different report. Eretz Yisrael is a difficult place to live. It is. You come here and you can make a small fortune from a big one. That's the way it is. And it's a difficult place. Nobody says it's easy. Nobody says it's easy. You do Aliyah, yeah? You become that Korban Oile, you become totally consumed. That is a fact. That is fact. But if you look at Eretz Yisrael with the Ruchnius, you look at the advantages that you have over here. How a Yom Tov looks, how a Shabbos looks, how you can go to the Kosel, how you can go to the Oros HaKadoshim, how you can go to Mokomos HaKadoshim, how you can the Yeshivas, how the people are living here on a different level. They're living a different level. And therefore, if we look at it like that, if Meraglim would have looked at it as Eretz Yisrael with Ruchnius eyes and given over the report with what the eye would have seen in the Ruchnius, then the Beis HaMikdash would never have been destroyed. They would never have had Bechir L'Doiris. We would have gone straight into Eretz Yisrael. And we're suffering today because people have the wrong perspective of Eretz Yisrael. They look at Eretz Yisrael, comparing it to, you know, the expenses of how much did my car cost me in America and how much does the car cost here. Ridiculous, 3 times the price. Petrol prices. That's ridiculous, right? And you can't get this and you can't get that. And it's a difficult land. You know what? What do we need it for? Let's go back. What do we need it for? Because Eretz Yisrael is a wonderful place. The Pasuk says in Parshas Ekev, Lo b'miskeinus toichal bo lechem. What does that mean? Not with poverty you eat bread. So Rebbeinu Bechaya says over there, Lo b'miskeinus toichal bo lechem is not actually referring to literally bread. But he says, if you look over there, beautiful Rebbeinu Bechaya, actually, miskeinus toichal bo lechem, in Parshas Ekev, is referring to Torah. That Torah is compared to lechem. L'chu lachmu b'lachmi. I read out what he says. Ulefi shahatoira vahachochma I efsha la odom la hasigam ala shlemus. It is impossible for a person to receive Torah with shlemus, ela im hachonis haruyus hatzrichesoy, unless he has prepared correctly for it. Umuvad hachonis, with 5 sizes preparations, yitstorech shiyeh avir ha'oret zachvatoy. You've got to have pure air of Eretz Yisrael. And he says, v'toy vachonis avir ha'toy vashe ba'oret alkei noy machachomim. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, Zahav Ha'oretz Ahi Toiv, the land of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah in Eretz Yisrael is so much greater. Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machikim, the air of Eretz Yisrael makes a person wiser. Masha Einkein Chachom Shabachutz Oretz, Shem Chasre Hachonis, the lacking Hachonis, Rabbein Chai lived in Chutz Oretz, right? Va Avir Hatoiv, Ven Vadai Oichlim Lechem Atzovim, they are eating the bread of atzovim, of sadness. Oichle lachmo shatorbim miskenus. They never eat the bread of miskenus. V'zer sh'omab ma'ilis ha'oris. This is the ma'il of Eretz Yisrael. Ashle b'miskenus toicha b'alecha. When you learn Torah here, it's on a whole different level. If a person wants to plug himself into Ruchnius over here, the advantages and the ability for him to do so is so much greater. It's so much greater. People want to learn over here to be the Chachamim. You cannot compare to what you have in Chutz Oretz. This is a koyach of Eretz Yisrael. If one plugs oneself into this, I heard a different pshat, and it's hayno hach. Leibim miskeinus toicha b'alecha means that in Chutz Oretz you got to have a house, 5, 6, 7 bedrooms. You got to have your 2 cars and a driveway. You got to have your house up in the mountains. You got to live, and if you don't live, you feel hard done by. Over here in Eretz Yisrael, you get the same people. They get the same people who have given up their big homes in South Africa or big homes up in upstate New York, and they're living here in a 3 or 4 bedroom house, apartment, an apartment block, and they have 1 car or no car, and they're shepherding around on buses, and they're happy. What it means over here is, you're not a misken, you're not a nebuch if all you have is bread over here. If all you have is bread, without the butter, and without the marmite, and without the jam, and without anything else, you're not a nebuch if all you have is bread. You're not a misken if all you have over here is bread. In Chutz Aretz, if you don't have the meat, you're a nebuch. Because if a person has a correct perspective and is able to identify the qualities of living in Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz HaKadosha, then it's worth it. Then it's worth it. That is what the land represents. It represents a perspective of when one looks into this land. It's worth fighting for. It's worth living here. Not chas v'shalom, that if you live in Chutz Oretz, you don't have Torah. The Ksav Sofer says that Moshe Rabbeinu, as soon as he came to Yishuv, explained it into 70 languages to show that any place you live around the world, you should learn Torah there as well, and one can learn Torah. But Eretz Yisrael has this, like miskenes toicha b'alechem, avir de Yisrael machkim. But there's one condition. I'm going to finish off with this. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asks, why is it that with all that's going on in Eretz Yisrael, with all the incredible qualities of Eretz Yisrael, Ein Torah k'Torah Eretz Yisrael, Ki Mitzian Teitze Torah, Dvar Shem Yerushalayim, Nevuah only comes to Eretz Yisrael, all these beautiful things, right? Even by Yonah, when he went out to Eretz Yisrael, he missed his Nevuah, yeah? All this Nahar HaGadol, the Pasuk says, Ad HaNahar HaGadol Nahar Pros. Pasuk Aleph Zayin. Rashi says, why it's called Nahar HaGadol? Because it's connected to Eretz Yisrael. Not even in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, it's called a big river because it's connected to Eretz Yisrael. There's all these wonderful skudas, all these wonderful things. If so, why do we, living in Eretz Yisrael, sometimes miss it? Why do we not associate ourselves and connect with the skudas of Eretz Yisrael? Why do we not find that we are able to learn and daven and do avodas Hashem better? What's the matter? So he said, listen to this. He said, there's a Gemara, there's a Medrash Rabbah. Moshe Rabbeinu came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Rabbeinu Shleilam, why is it that the bones of Yosef were buried in Eretz Yisrael and I not? Why not? Why not? Why Yosef was he did he go to Eretz Yisrael and me not? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the difference is very simple. When Yosef was identified as a Jew, he said, they said, Re'u Havilon Ivri, this Ivri, Yosef said, yes, Gunav Gunavdi mi Eretz Ivrim. I came from the land of Ivrim. I came from Eretz Yisrael. So he identified himself with being a Chelik of Eretz Yisrael. I am an Eretz Ivrim. That's who I am. That is my identity. With Moshe Rabbeinu, what did he say? Ish Mitzri Hitzlonim in Yad Arayim. Ish Mitzri saved us. Moshe Rabbeinu did not correct them. When the Benos Moyov said to their father, who is this? He said he's an Ish Mitzri, referred to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu did not say, no, I'm a Jew. Why not? So it's clear, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, it's very clear that obviously there may have been a danger issue there. Maybe dangerous. Yeah, to find that he's a Jew there, who knows what could happen to him? So you can't really blame him. So if so, if you can't blame Moshe Rabbeinu to say that I'm a Jew and he kept it quiet and said that Ish Mitzri, why was he punished for not being brought into Eretz Yisrael? He didn't have a choice. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, it's not a punishment. It's a mitzias. It is a reality. If you associate yourself with Eretz Yisrael, then Eretz Yisrael accepts you in. Eretz Yisrael gives you what Eretz Yisrael has to give you. Yosef HaTzadik says, I'm part of Eretz Yisrael. He got Eretz Yisrael. That became part of him. Moshe Rabbeinu said him Ish Mitzri. Did he have a choice? No. But did he associate himself with Eretz Yisrael? No. And therefore Eretz Yisrael does not let him in. So he says that if a person wants a hashbar of Eretz Yisrael, if he has to become a part of it. I am not living here as long as I can live here, and if not, I'll go back to Chutz Oretz. No. I'm living here because this is a place that I can grow in Ruchnius. This is a place where I can associate myself with Rabbeinu Shlomo of much greater and deeper level. If you really associate yourself with this land, the land will give you what it has to give, and it gives a tremendous amount. He said, for that reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael for many, many of their veirs, Chet Egel, but the Chet Meraglim, he could not forgive them. What was worse, Chet Meraglim or Chet Egel? One's a Veda Zora, one was. He said, no. Chet Meraglim was a Chet, and they said, Eretz Yisrael is not for us. You know what? You're right. Stay outside. You can't come into Eretz Yisrael. Chet Egel, we could do tshuva for. In other words, this parasha is all about knowing what to look for here in Eretz Yisrael. The Nisim, all the miracles that happened, Sichei Melech Oig, and all that's going on over there. All that happened was only in order to give Moshe Rabbeinu a greater ability to give Torah Eretz Yisrael over. all the miracles that happen around that arrive in Eretz Yisrael is not the Zionist dream of where Jewish policemen can arrest a Jewish criminal in a Jewish city. That is not why Kodesh Baruch Hu, I reverse it a little slightly, yes, for censored reasons. Yeah? But that is not why Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Eretz Yisrael. It's because we have the ability to have Torah Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, Siyata Dishmaya, the yeshivas are flourishing, the schools are flourishing, but we have to allow to our understanding that we should not start comparing it to Chutz Aretz. There is easier than we're looking at it like we're ugly. We're comparing it as Eretz Yisrael to regular land of Gashmius. We're not looking at Eretz Yisrael as the ability to focus and connect with the godless of Eretz Yisrael. If we do, we can grow so much greater. We can have Meskenus Toicha Bolechem. Just to say one beautiful remez that Rafeva says, relevant to the Yonah de Yoma. Very, very nice remez. In the beginning of the parasha, it says, Achad Osa Yoyim Achoyrev. Achad Osa Yoyim. He said, the 11 days of a year that we focus on the Churban. Achad Osa Yoyim. We have the 9 days now. Yeah, we have the 9 days. Well, we have the 9 days. Also, we have Asara B'Teves, and we have Shiva Osa B'Tamuz. So it's Achad Osa Yoyim, 11 days. Mechoyrev, from the Churban. Derech Har Seir, that we've been through all the way through Seir, we've been through Golos Edoim, we've been Ramesh from place to place. Ad Kodesh Barnea, until the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, Kodesh is Yerushalayim. What's Barnea? Barnea Shebnei Yisrael Hanoim V'Nodi Minchalubo. That people who've been traveling from place to place, people are going through the Golos, will one day get Eretz Yisrael. Hoyl Moshe says the next pasuk. Hoyl Moshe. No, it's not next pasuk. In pasuk hey. Hoyl Moshe be'er es ha'toyra hazoyis lemur. So he says Hoyl is the Rosh Tevis of the same oisius as Eliyahu. Hoyl and Eliyahu are the same things. That with the Torah and the Zchus ha'toyra that be'ez Hashem we will have, Eliyahu Hanavi will take us out es be'er ha'toyra hazoyis and we'll be back be'ez Hashem. We'll be back into the land of our Kodesh Baruch Hu promises us. The Geula Shleimah Meher of Yameinu.